Welcome to the Wanderers History Podcast and to a new episode where I wanted to ask a bit of an important question in the form of a mini essay. I wanted to ask basically how climate change has shaped our history, because empirical evidence shows that there are connections between long periods of war, revolutions, uprisings, and rapid climate change. For example, the Little Ice Age exacerbated the effect of both land and maritime sea conflicts, especially in the 17th century. We see the 30 Years' War, the 80 Years' War, the Wars of the Three Kingdoms, and many more. Analyzing these phenomena is useful in understanding and preventing potential conflicts in the near to mid-future caused by the effects of contemporary climate change. In recent years in Europe, we have been able to observe an increase in the frequency of extreme phenomena such as the F4 tornado, which hit the Moravian region of the Czech Republic. These extreme phenomena will probably intensify and increase in number in the future, partially due to human activity, pollution, emissions, and so on and so forth. Beyond the calculated material losses, these extreme phenomena have the potential to change and alter the course of global politics, regional politics, creating points of tension. We can see an escalation of warfare as it is. There could be tensions on resources such as water. We can also be certain that climate change plays a political role if we look at the history. We've got chronicles of the previous millennium, and there were occurrences of numerous extreme phenomena, such as the emergence of three strong tornadoes in the Bohemian area. So we've got Kestrani in 1582, Nezhnasov and Koklirov in 1585. We have the Bukardi storm of 1634, which led to the loss of more than 10,000 lives during a critical period of the 30 Years' War, but also caused significant damage to the late harvest in the North Frisian area. The impact of that harvest affected regional food resources, but also possibility of supplies through regional ports. An extremely interesting and relevant thing for us today is the causal link between these extreme phenomena and the socio-economic disruptions which occur simultaneously with these events in said affected regions. A very important question is, how exactly do we know what the climate was like, say, 500 years ago? In order to understand the events of the past, we've got archaeologists and historians alike having at their disposal two categories of archives. The first is the natural one, where we can find various information through the study of ice cores and glaciology, of pollen and spores stored in lakes and marshes. We've got stalactites and annual water deposits where possible. We've got tree rings where dendrochronology, fascinating science by the way, can provide very important data on climate variations. A very interesting bit of historical trivia, for example, is the reason why the Stradivarius violins have that unique sound is due to the fact that the wood with which they were built between 1700 and 1725 came from trees that endured a much colder climate than usual. Analysis of chronicles that documented the frequency of volcanic eruptions and sunspots. We've got the very famous case of the Maunder Minimum between 1645 and 1715, a very notable case. Then we have the historical evidence, official documents, chronicles of travelers and navigators, government records, monitoring of annual fluctuations in rainfall, river flows, etc. Another source that can be used, although it's more of an unusual one, are the works of art which illustrated extreme phenomena. Such was the frosty winter of 1677, when the Thames River completely froze, a fact illustrated in the very famous painting of Abraham Hondius. Also between 1654 and 1667, an international network from southern Europe constantly monitored temperatures with daily measurements between 5 to 8 times a day and showed that on average, winters were over 1 degree Celsius colder than those of the 20th century. The 17th century is the perfect example of how climate affected society with not only at a political level, but also economic as well. Not just in Europe, but beyond it, in Asia and China, in the Americas, and parts of Africa. So in the 17th century, both hemispheres faced the effects of a long cooling that lasted for almost 8 decades. The whole 17th century is the century with only 3 years of peace at the same time in all of Europe. It's a very turbulent period in European history. This period is characterized by a series of devastating conflicts, such as the 30 Years' War, took place between 1618 and 1648. The War of the Three Kingdoms, also known as the British Civil War, between 1639 and 1653. The Franco-Spanish War between 1635 and 1659. The Long Ottoman War, the Long Turkish War between 1593 and 1606. Although it may seem like a coincidence, empirical evidence shows us that all these conflicts were partially caused by the long-lasting and deep effects of the Little Ice Age. We've got a chronicle from Spain in 1643, reporting that few regions in Europe were unaffected by the war, and rhetorically exclaimed that even those were dealing with pestilence, famine brought on by drought and other unusual natural disasters. Also in Spain in the spring of 1640, the drought was so devastating that King Philip III decreed a national day so the Catholic parishioners could participate in local pilgrimages to bring rain. In 1641, the Nile had reached its historical minimum, while tree rings in the Anatolian area showed the unusual frequency of severe and prolonged droughts. And throughout the 17th century, the Seine burst its dam and flooded Paris 18 times. Overall, the landscape of the 17th century is a very bleak one, where the very sharp and prolonged cooling combined with other extreme phenomena, such as droughts and strong floods, severely affected Europe and the whole world. We also have in 1638, Robert Burt, an academic from Oxford, drawing the attention in his book entitled Anatomy of Melancholy, that most of the news about war, pestilence, wildfires, floods that occurred during the terrible wars that seemed endless in France, Germany, the Ottoman Empire. Although they appear to be mere coincidences, these events are closely related. Thus, human-caused catastrophes, wars, conflicts, pestilences were often also caused by certain climatic processes. Empirical evidence shows us that there is a close causal relationship between major climate changes and the outbreak of conflicts. Great droughts or floods, extremely long and cold winters, and other climate change effects primarily affected the agricultural sector, then vital to the stability of any kingdom or state. Supply chains were strongly affected, fueling instability in areas already faced with political, religious, and socioeconomic problems. Due to the need to control the riots caused by the lack of food, the authorities initiated military campaigns. This directly affected large cities and urbanized areas due to the high levels of taxation required to finance these wars. At the same time, these wars brought with them plagues, a relevant example being the Italian plague between 1629 and 1631, known as the Great Plague of Milan, which led to the death of almost 300,000 people in the northern area of Italy. To summarize, the effects of notable climate changes, such as unusual droughts, led to famines that provoked popular uprisings that in turn required suppression by the authorities. But to finance these military actions, an increase in taxation was often necessary, leading to even more impoverishment of the population and the emergence of plagues. The 17th century in particular, according to historian Geoffrey Parker, and here I recommend his book Global Crisis, War, Climate Change, and the Catastrophe in the 17th Century, was one in which the effects of climate change coincided with the accentuated popular uprisings and wars. He draws attention to the fact that in the previous century, although there were many conflicts, many were confined to a certain geographical area and did not last for more than half a decade on average. Instead, with the Bohemian Revolt of 1618 that triggered the 30 Years' War, a war that encompassed almost all of Europe, we see a series of extended and long-lasting conflicts. In 1648, due to the economic collapse caused by the loss of life in armed conflicts, but also due to increasingly limited resources, partially affected by the climate changes that persisted since 1618, the great nations of Europe signed the Treaty of Westphalia. But this treaty did not put an end to other conflicts in Europe, and also the Little Ice Age continued. In the Balkans, we've got witnesses from the time recounting that how in the spring of 1654, blizzards and extremely cold temperatures caused even olive oil and wines to freeze. According to Professor Parker, historical analysis of 9 of the 14 summers of the period 1666 and 1679 were cold or exceptionally cold. In this period, for example, the harvest of 1675 in Western Europe were the latest in time in the entire period of 1484 and 1879. Climatologists have proven that in the 1690s represented the peak of the Little Ice Age when average annual temperatures were 1.5 degrees cooler than today. It's important to note that Professor Parker's study was originally published in 2013. So the point I want to make in this video is that climate plays a central role in the shaping of our history. It's important to reiterate that climate change is not the main factor why the 17th century was extraordinarily turbulent, where there were only 3 years of peace at the same time across all of Europe. But these changes of climate have affected societies globally, especially through their impact on food reserves, agriculture, but also through societal dislocation due to natural disasters or even wars. We currently see in present time, IPCC reports, which are warning us about the imminence of major climate changes that are already observable. History has shown us the major impact of long-lasting events such as the Little Ice Age, which exacerbated and fueled a perpetual state of conflict and war, especially in the 17th century, that led to the loss of large number of lives and the emergence of pandemics. In this context, it's important to understand the role of climate, which was not just a marginal factor in the polishing of history. This is all more relevant today when the pace of climate change is much faster and society is globally interconnected, i.e. in an extreme phenomenon, even a local one, can have a major impact on the global economy. So although humanity is currently contributing to the acceleration of global climate change, it's essential to realize that climate change has also affected our history. We affect it and it affects us. If we deny the pace of climate change and thus diminish its role in global politics and economic processes while ignoring the warnings of the past, I think humanity risks being unprepared for the political and economic challenges of the near and distant future. We look at the Middle East, we look at large parts of Asia, Southeast Asia, parts in Europe as well, what's happening in Africa, North America. I think the lessons of history can be a useful guide to prevent or at least limit, mitigate the potential impact of climate change on our present and also future as a society. Thank you for listening to this episode of the podcast. I hope you enjoyed it. As a reference, I would recommend the aforementioned book, Global Crisis, War, Climate Change, and Catastrophe in the 17th Century. Stay tuned for more episodes of the podcast, and until the next time, all the best.